This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Is it a bird?
The bird?
Is it a plane?
Where's? Oh, is there a plane? It's not a plane.
Oh, it's a teabag and joysticks. Let's go. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cy. How are we, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. Do you know what episode number it is?
42?
Yeah, which is the answer to something. I don't know the question.
I don't know either. I seem to think it's something really small, isn't it?
Okay.
I hate that you clocked the life, the universe, and everything pun before I did. I'm disappointed in myself right now.
Oh dear.
No, Chris is referencing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for those that are unfamiliar. Of Hopefully, course. There's yeah. not many people because that's an excellent book and you should read it.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, doesn't quite lead into our topic today. But what is our topic today, Chris?
Our topic today is superheroes. To be fair, we do talk about a lot on this show, but more specifically, we will be speaking to our guest, who is Mr. Superhero Europe 2022, Gareth.
But before we get there, what's the tea, Chris?
The tea today is I have hurt my back. And I know exactly how I did it.
What did you do?
I did that thing where I bent over myself on the shower trying to piss in my own mouth.
Fuck's sake. You should know better at your age. That's all I'm going to say. You should know better at your age. Also, right in there with the explicit content. I like it. Just remember, folks, please kink responsibly.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Don't do that. Yeah.
Oh, good grief. Good grief.
Do we have time for a quick second tea?
Sure.
So...
Sport. I swear if you're about to take my tea, I'm going to shout at you.
Okay. What is your team?
The Lionesses won the World Cup. Okay, so I almost got that right. They won the Euros, not the World Cup. But apart from that, the rest of my point was valid.
Yes.
Okay. Football has finally come home after 56 years.
Football has come home. Yeah. Go on.
So, my tea was just the general, like, holy shit, it's come home. And for those that don't know, like, this is an extra thing for me because the rules of football as we play now were known as the Sheffield rules. And, like, that's where I'm from originally. Like, it is the home of football. And so, you know, hey, this is kind of fucking cool to see this. But the thing that really stood out to me is, despite living in the city where, like, the modern game comes from, I've avoided football since my early teens. Because I really didn't like the tribalism, etc. And I really how exclusionary and phobic it could get in the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the final, I was really actually touched and really heartened to see both team captains wearing the rainbow armband and how inclusive and how accepting the fans, the crowd, the game in general is for, like, the women's side of it.
Yes, quite right.
And I was really, like, I actually felt welcome for once, and that's been such a strange thing.
It helps that the England women's football team includes 7 members of the LGBT community.
Awesome. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. That is
That's really case. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my tea.
Yes, good. Okay, so I think that is quickly the tea over with. Also, I have had tea today for the first time ever. I have recorded Tea Bags and Joystick with a cup of tea.
How is that the first time you've done that in 42 episodes, Chris?
I don't know. I didn't used to drink this much tea.
Fair enough. No, but let's head straight into the bag where we are joined by the lovely Gareth.
Yes. Say hello, Gareth.
Hi.
And Gareth is Mr. Superhero EU.
Yes. Mr. Superhero EU or Europe
2022. EU 22 rolls off the... Like, we found this out with Quincy Handle EU. Like, it just rolls off the tongue way too nicely. EU 22.
Yeah, but the EU specifically stands for European Union, which apparently we're not part of.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I lean more to Mr. Superhero Europe, and not because I voted for Brexit, just for clarity there, but just because I find it difficult to put myself forward as Mr. Superhero EU when we are not part of the EU.
To be fair, that's an understandable reticence, I would say.
Yeah, that's why I was straight in there with the Mr. Superhero Europe, because at least we're still part of that.
No, that's completely fair, but do you want to give sort of the elevator pitch of yourself, basically, and then we'll get sort of into the full conversation from there, just so people have got an idea of, like, who you are, what you do, etc.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I bet everybody hates this bit, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I am Gareth. Pronouns are he, him. I am an anxious, creative, cosplaying nerd who, yeah, likes to dress up on Instagram and also has a few kinks related to superheroes, and decided one day to enter a competition. And, well, I didn't win that one, but then 2 years later won the competition and got a lovely sash, which I'm wearing now, even though this is a completely audio thing and so nobody can see it, but I know.
But it does look fantastic.
I mean, you can attach a picture of the sash if you want to, and we can put it into the show notes.
Perfect, yes.
So, you mentioned there, sort of, you ran for the title twice. Mm-hmm. You challenged for the title twice, and I got that wrong before. I'll try and get that right this show. You challenged for the title twice. I guess, how did you get to the point of heading into challenging, should we say? Because you mentioned that you have a few kings that revolve around superheroes, etc.
Yeah. How do you find out about a competition in the first place?
So, firstly, on a complete tangent, I'm also a massive wrestling fan, and so sitting there going, "You challenged for the title." I'm like, "Yes, yes, I did. Challenge somebody to a steel cage match at WrestleMania."
You either win a belt or you win a sash.
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes you just use the belt as the sash.
Well, there is a point, though, when I want to kind of stand just holding the sash above my head, like in victory. I shall avoid that. So, and now I'll actually answer the question. So I, because fetishizing superheroes, and certainly I think I probably need to start there, because I grew up watching X-Men, Batman, Spider-Man cartoons. Was a huge fan. Also, you know, grew up on Star Wars. Had a wonderful upbringing as far as, you know, my parents went, because they exposed me to all of the right things.
I think we kind of had the golden age of all that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And of course, they're bringing X-Men 97 back, but let's not go off too far on a tangent. But yeah. Go off on a tangent before I've even answered the first question. That's very me. And then kind of having been aware and loved all of that and all of those characters, I discovered the 60s Batman one day with Adam West and Burt Ward, and suddenly found myself caring a hell of a lot more about Robin than I did about Batman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And so I was a bit like, what? Because I love Batman in like everything else. And suddenly, I'm more attracted to this twink, obviously, before I knew what a twink was. And then, you know, obviously, that then goes hand in hand with nearly every single one of those episodes ending up with them tied up in some kind of ridiculous death trap. And, you know, then your mind starts to wander, doesn't it, to what else could the villains do while they've got the heroes tied up at their mercy? Mm-hmm. And so I think that was kind of, before I realised I was a flaming homosexual, I realised that there was something more about Robin that I was interested in. And then when I kind of realised further down the line, actually, I am gay, that then made a little bit of sense. So I think because Robin was my first boy crush, I've kind of always had a bit of a thing about Robin. And so then at some point decided, hey, I want to get myself a Robin costume because I want to feel that sexy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I also want to meet up with guys and maybe play out a few of those scenarios that I've pictured for many, many years. And so then, you know, as you're growing up and kind of find yourself on the darker corners of the internet, as you are exploring these fetishes that you are discovering and that are awakening in you, I think...
There's darker portions of the internet? I don't know what you mean.
I mean, the thing is, I now say the darker portions of the internet and actually think, like, I don't know, then I go to really dark places and I'm like, okay, no, not those.
Yeah, there are, like, really, really dark like, places the medium, on the internet.
The medium part of the internet. And so I think it was, I can't remember what the website was, but either way, there was kind of, I started to discover, well, you know, pornographic images of people as superheroes and realised that other people had this kink. Yahoo Groups used to be a great one for it as well. And kind of...
God, that takes me back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually at one point started talking to somebody who is Antonio, who runs the website Superhero Fetish.
Okay.
So I was aware of that website and Antonio for many, many years. And then kind of, you know, following on from my journey of getting a Robin costume and exploring that, then Tom Holland comes along, who you will be able to tell from my Burt Ward obsession is very much my type. And so I kind of start to think, well, actually, yeah, there's something about Spider-Man too, isn't there? So maybe let's get a Spider-Man costume. and then I'm starting
everyone's
to explore
favorite
that.
Drink.
Yeah, I'm starting to explore that more and more, and just, you know, desire to, I think, emulate these wonderful Twinkie superheroes. And then, oh, perfect, yes. And then one day I am drunk on a work trip.
Always a good decision.
Always a good decision. And it's so funny as well that you mentioned your episode with Quincy because, I mean, fabulous episode. Highly recommend that one. But obviously,
much.
Quincy said that they had been drunk on their birthday when they decided to enter. Well, guess what? Late 2019, I realised that I was drunk and in a hotel on a work trip, having had far too much free wine, and decided that I was going to enter for Mr. Superhero Fetish 2020.
Awesome.
It does seem to be a running theme with titles.
Yeah. Yeah. Just drunkenly, yeah.
Now, I will say, I've seen your Robin cosplay, and that's amazing. Like, it is absolutely fantastic. I'm just shocked. Like, honestly, like, properly gagged on that one. Your Spider-Man one is particularly special. Do you want to explain why?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
No, we'll come around to that in a moment.
We'll come around to that because that's very much part of the journey between the competition in 2020 and in 2022.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So you challenged for the title once. Unfortunately, didn't get there the first time. How close did we come?
Second place.
So we came second place first time. Okay. So... took away what you learned from that, which was...
So it was... I think I went into it at the time, I was very much in a headspace of, I think a year before that, I'd realised that I had anxiety. And so was very much in a place of, I'm going to do things to challenge myself a little bit and try and lean into the things that scare me. And I kind of thought, if, you know, okay, you've entered this competition drunk, can't get out of it. Well, you probably can get out of it, but let's not get out of it. Let's just go and do it because it's a scary thing. Because, you know, as somebody who, you know, has anxious thoughts in their brain that effectively tells them that everybody hates them and also has kind of massive body conscious issues, standing and competing in a room full of people at a big European fetish festival on stage in skin-tight lycra was a slight challenge, shall we say?
I can imagine so.
And so I was, and this isn't just something that you say as a bullshit answer when you're being interviewed beforehand. I was very much in the mindset of just going and entering and getting on that stage is a bit of a victory. And so I really, I was not expecting to win. And so then going in there, doing that, having a really nice time and coming second was just incredible for me. It was such a high. So for me, it's kind of like, there is no unfortunately about coming second. It was like, oh my God, I came second place. I can't believe that. And I remember even for the few days afterwards being on such a high. I think it was, is it Sally Field at the Oscars? They like me. They really like me.
Yeah.
But then the kind of, I think, what happens with my brain sometimes is I get an idea stuck in there. And I've very much learned this with exploring cosplay, that sometimes I will get an idea stuck in my brain and it will not leave until I've brought it to life. And so I spoke to one of the judges after the show and he said, you know, you were my favourite. Thank you. But basically, you were my favourite. And basically what happened was, you know, you got on stage and all of the answers you were giving were very focused around your anxiety and also around the LGBTQ+ community. And you were giving all of these wonderful answers when you were being interviewed. But then in your performance, you were playing Peter Parker and you were playing Spider-Man. And also, and almost I was trying to do two different things at once and they weren't quite gelling together. And so he said at that point, one of the things that has worked in the past is when somebody does their own twist on a character. Because I was just fully doing, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home. That was the suit I'd picked. That was the, Far From Home. Bad nerd. Mm-hmm. That was the suit that I'd picked, the red and black one. And, you know, my performance was centered around Peter Parker and telling the origin story of Peter Parker with kind of a comedic twist. And so that's what I'd been doing there. But then I'd been bringing in all of these other elements when I'd been interviewed. And so that's when that idea started to form of, is there a way you can mesh those two things together to create a character that has, you know, all of the kind of the... Because one of the things with Spider-Man, and this is where my real nerdy side comes out, is that kind of anyone can wear the mask thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, so that's an equality element. So let's bring that with all of the other things and really started to play with this idea. And so then got this idea of, what I can do is I can get a custom-made spider suit which has pride colours and which represents the community that I talk about so bloody much. And, you know, can take that one step further as well. And my idea was just call it Spider. So, you know, drop the man. So make it even more anyone can wear the mask. Which, again, the irony then of winning Mr. Superhero. But, you know, that's another thing. And I was very clear that it should be the progress flag as well. So it's got kind of the the rainbow colours on the chest and then the triangle bits on the arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was the character that I then created for that second year, obviously. It was supposed to be the year afterwards, but it ended up being 2 years later and we all know why.
Yeah.
There was also a tradition that Judge told me of runner-up coming back the next time and winning it. So, you know, I had to carry on that tradition, didn't I?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I think we can congratulate next year's winner for Superhero Europe 2023.
Yep, Liam, there you go.
You're on the spot now, Liam. So you touched on a few things there that I'd like to, I guess, come across as we go through this. I'm gonna swing back to the sort of most recent one of what you said, which is it is still a gendered title at the moment.
Yeah.
So it is Mr. Superhero EU at the moment.
Yes.
I know I issued this about a little bit before the show, but sort of is that up in the air? Is that sort of staying? Like, because as we talked when we discussed things with Quincy, they were saying how quite a few titles are looking to sort of broaden it out so that it's either sort of mix or they drop the sort of Mr. Mrs. etc. entirely to allow it to be more open category, I guess. Yeah. And more inclusive. I mean, I don't know how much input you have on that, but sort of, but do you know where that stands at the moment?
I do, and you will like this. So I obviously had, you know, run my campaign on LGBTQ plus equality. As soon as I'd won, again, the unexpectedness of actually winning, because as much as I went in going, I've got this amazing character, I know that second place traditionally wins, I still didn't actually think I was going to win. In fact, there was a point halfway through where I was like, I've done it the way I wanted to do it, it's fine. So as soon as I won, I had all of these wonderful ideas flowing through my head, and one of them was make the title more inclusive, because I knew that that was a way that these other contests were heading. And again, having discussed it, because I made, you know, I kind of want to shout out the other contestants here, because the day of that competition was just so freaking amazing because of the people that I was competing with, because they were all so wonderful, and I've made like a couple of friends for life within that. And one of them is the first runner-up, Liam, who I was talking to about this as well. And so then a couple of weeks ago, after you and I had spoken, when I started, you know, listening to this podcast and listened to the episode with Quincy, I remembered that that was something that was on my mental to-do list. And so, you know, massive props to you two and to Quincy for reminding me about that, because I then messaged Antonio as I was listening to the podcast and said, this is what I think we should do. So I think I can probably exclusively reveal that that is something that he is going to do going forward. So I think, being a nerd himself, he wants to have next year as Mr. Superhero again. And I think that's so that it will have been a trilogy. There's the nerd reference. Okay. But then after that, in 2024, it will just be Superhero Europe.
Awesome. So,
sorry, I'm trying to think if there's like a subtitle that can be added to that to indicate like the end of the trilogy, you know?
Yeah, it's going on to phase two.
There we go.
Yeah, it's going on to phase two.
I think it's actually phase three.
Phase three.
Yeah, I think I'm the fifth. So what film does that make me? Oh, let's not try and do the maths there. But in terms of my trilogy, I'm also quite happy because that makes me the second one in the trilogy. And, well, you know, I am the Empire Strikes Back. I am the Dark Knight. I am...
But that does also mean that the Dark World of the series, so...
Yeah, but the Thor is not a trilogy.
True.
Well.
So this is not a question we have written down currently, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So, how was the competition run? So what kind of things do you have to go through in the competition?
Okay. So it was different both times, I think, because 2022 was the first one after the pandemic. I think they'd had a lot of time to plan it and consciously made it different. So I'll kind of give a bit of a rundown of both, I suppose. So there's obviously, you know, judges. There's judges from kind of all across the fetish world, which was lovely. I think that's part of kind
awesome.
Of
yeah.
That's Antonio's deliberate kind of effort, I think, to integrate the superhero fetish community more within, you know, the pup community and every all of these other wonderful fetishes. I think it's important for him to have kind of a wide spectrum of judges, which is really, really nice as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's interviews with the judges both times beforehand. And then there is a series of tasks. The first time round, they were all individual tasks. The second time round, they were all group tasks. And so, you know, so the first time round, my task, I think, was called distraction. And what they did was get a nice vibrating wand and hold it against my crotch while asking me a series of questions. And I had to give the wrong answers to those questions. So, you know, distracted.
Yeah, I would count that distracting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And then
I would definitely be having a hard time with it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. The puns are right to themselves today.
I appreciated the swinging in one. I didn't quite appreciate the hard time quite as much. And then the second time around, there was, and again, this is why you can tell that had time to think about it over the pandemic, because there was a whole story arc going through the whole competition, including like cosmic cubes and everything like that. So it was wonderfully, wonderfully cheesy. We had to complete it was a multiverse of madness type thing, where the contestants had all been transported into different universes, and we had to do a task to get the cosmic cube in order to travel back to our own universe. So it was stuff like the rubber universe, and stuff like the pup universe. So we had to do some puppy wrangling. There was a wash basket full of socks, and we had to find the smelliest sock. So it was a series of tasks like that. And then we had Mr. Rubber France Benoit as one of the judges. Mm. And within the rubber universe, our task was to get Benoit nice and shiny. That was all of our favourite tasks, I think.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then kind of after that, both times, so we had the individual blind tasks that we didn't really know about beforehand, and then we all had to put together an individual performance piece after that.
Right,
so
right.
It kind of ended with us all having our own individual performance. So I also ended up having, I think, a massive advantage the second time around, because Alan, who was, I think his Instagram is Cosplay Hero Boy. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. So hot as well. He was Batman for the competition. And he said to me, for my performance, will you be Catwoman? Yeah, of course I will. Twice the stage time, and I get to channel my inner Michelle Pfeiffer. I am there. Unfortunately, that kind of meant on the day that we had the first competition. I think it was arranged so that my actual performance was last and his was third. So there should have been you know, contestant one and two, and then four, then him, and then four and five. So that was okay, because that would give me enough time to get off the stage, get out of the spider outfit into the Catwoman one, strut back across Darklands in heels, get on stage, whip a little bit and mime some Michelle Pfeiffer lines, and then get back off stage and go get changed back into Spider, and I had a tearaway reveal as well. Unfortunately, on the day, one of the contestants dropped out, and that contestant, I think, was the fourth contestant. So the fifth contestant was singing Mariah Carey, Hero. I think, was it Hero? Yeah, I think so. I can't remember, but I think it was that. Yeah. Either way, I had the length of that song to get changed out of Catwoman back into Spider, and to get my reveal and all of my props ready. It was like 3 minutes. It's not a good
time. Oh, wow.
A bit tight. Yeah, that's a bit tight.
Yeah, just a little.
I mean, there's something to be said there for superheroes working against the clock.
Yes, absolutely.
So, this is not going to be the best segue I've ever done, but like, maybe this is a good time to sort of come back to something that you mentioned earlier as well.
Okay.
You said about, and you've been very candid about sort of your anxiety when it comes to sort of just generally and sort of like general mental health on that side, and also sort of going in with the competition. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is twofold, which is sort of, how do you take yourself from that position of being so worked up about this to being able to sort of get out there and do what you're doing in your role as, like, both in sort of challenging for the title and in your role now as Superhero EU? And I guess, what advice would you give to someone who's trying to get over that? Because I think I do encounter a lot people saying, oh, I'd love to do this, but it's too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, I could talk forever about anxiety, and I'm very candid about it, because I learned about anxiety from listening to other people, and so I almost feel like I've got a bit of a duty there to share as much as possible, because I think with things like mental health, unfortunately, one of the best ways to learn is just from listening to other people talk about their experiences and suddenly going, hang on, I feel like that. And that's what worked for me. So I've probably got I'm going to answer that question in two different ways, because I feel like the way that I deal with it is not necessarily the healthiest.
But it's fair to acknowledge that as well, because I think my own mental health journey, I know I've definitely done situations where it's just like, that's not been the best thing in hindsight.
Yeah. So sometimes the best way that I can deal with situations that I'm afraid of or anxious about is to trap myself into doing them. And kind of what I mean by that is almost to turn the anxiety in on itself, turn the anxiety against itself. And that's, if you're afraid of doing this thing, if you're afraid of getting on stage and, you know, standing there in a Spider-Man costume and having a vibrating wand held against your crotch while you answer a series of questions, it's creating almost more of a catastrophic scenario of what happens if you don't do that, you know, and actually, if you drop out of this competition, well, you've already booked the flights, so you're going to have lost out on a load of money, and everybody that you've told you're going is going to think you're a bit of an idiot. And actually, the organisers of the competition are going to hate you as well, because you've dropped out and left them in the shit. And so it's kind of, you know, it's coming up with a scenario where you look like more of an idiot if you don't do it. Which is why I'm saying isn't the healthiest way of coping with it.
No, I was going to say that I would say, like, we need to kind of mention here, like, very heavy sort of mountains of salt here going, sort of, this is not the best situation to put yourself in, just from a personal well-being perspective. So, like, please don't, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. And no, it's totally, totally fine, because that, you know, I completely agree with the absolute mountains of salt. That is not necessarily the healthiest coping mechanism. And I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that I rely on that all of the time. I'm saying that there are occasional moments where I need to catastrophize in the other direction to convince myself or to trap myself into doing it. The way that I manage my anxiety day to day, and this is where I get onto almost the better answer to that question.
Yeah.
Because I think if somebody is struggling with anxiety, you need to find out what works for you, and you need to learn as much as you can about how other people deal with it and experiment as much as possible. Because when you learn from other people, you're going to learn how they cope, and you're going to pick things up, and you're going to, you know, listen to things and think, oh, actually, maybe that works for me. So exercise works for me. Yoga works for me. And these are some of the things that work sometimes and not others.
Yeah.
Having a good routine works for me. Having, you know, a bit of a to-do list sometimes. So I've kind of almost got, I've always got little projects to be getting on with just so that if I'm overthinking, I can go get on with writing something, or I could work on this cosplay that I'm working on or something like that. But those are all things that I have found as I've gone along. And as well, I take medication. You know, that's also something that isn't talked about enough. I take medication for my anxiety, and that massively helps. So it's about learning what works for you. If this is something you are struggling with, experiment, find something that works for you, and just remember that any step forward is a step forward.
No, I agree with that entirely. The only thing that I would add to that as kind of a not even a caveat, but sort of an additional from my own experience, because like Chris will sort of say it, like he's seen me go through like really, really bad anxiety and really bad sort of just getting in my own head. One thing that I found really helped was to go and get professional help, quite honestly, because that is something that we don't necessarily talk about enough. And like, there's no harm in it. No one's going to judge you for going there. And you go to a dentist for your teeth. You go to ER, A&E if you break a bone. You go to your doctor if you come down with a sickness. Go and talk to a mental health professional if you're struggling with your mental health. It's the same thing.
And absolutely right. If you broke your leg, you wouldn't sit there and go, well, let's just see if it gets better.
Yeah.
but likewise, you know, it doesn't... It also, just to continue that metaphor, doesn't have to be a broken leg. You know, you can go... Mm-hmm. Essentially, I suppose what I'm saying here is I'm currently exploring counselling, but I am in a good headspace and actually have my anxiety relatively under control, but I'm going to explore that as a preventative thing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. This is going to be a terrible segue, isn't it?
It's fine. Just breathe through it and carry on.
And make a pun if you can.
Yeah, going back to the superhero thing now. This is a terrible segue.
It's not, because a lot of superheroes have a lot of anxiety about being found out or having to go and face the world after what they've done in their superhero persona. So.
Yeah, okay. So, well, I don't know. I kind of want to know a bit more about a superhero fetish. Like, it. Because, well, I wouldn't say right now is this one of the most visible of fetishes. Mm-hmm. So, are there, well, so, I don't know, if you have any plans to kind of bring it more to the forefront or anything. I know you have put your own spin on the Spider-Man character. So, what do you think other people might do? Like, do most people in the fetish kind of cosplay other existing characters, or do some people make up their own characters?
I think there's a good mixture. I think there are certain characters like Spider-Man who is quite heavily fetishized. I imagine that's because of the whole twink thing. Tom Holland is Tom Holland is not helping and yet wonderfully helping. But then, you know, Andrew Garfield before him and Tobey Maguire before him. So Spider-Man is a heavily fetishized character, and that's one of the things I not so much struggle with a little. Well, no, I think I'm going to go with struggle with. I think that's probably an acceptable thing, because somewhere along the line, I became a cosplayer as well. And so I will, And again, it was Alan, who I mentioned earlier, Cosplay Hero Boy, who after we got back from the competition in the first place, said, oh, Gareth, you should start an Instagram account. And at that time, it was, you know, it was going to be a kinky twist on things, and it was going to be very, very kink heavy. But then the pandemic happened, and actually, instead, it became a bit of a lockdown hobby and a bit of a creative outlet. And so rather than doing characters I found sexy, I started cosplaying, and I started, you know, personifying characters who I was attracted to in a whole different way. And by that, I mean kind of characters that I related to more than found attractive. So, you know, I went to Birmingham Comic Con, for example, at the weekend, and I wore the Pride spider suit one day, and I dressed as Phoenix the next day. So I did a gender bent Phoenix, because, you know, who doesn't want to be a fiery goddess?
Fantastic.
Dark or light?
Light.
Nice.
However, I have this wonderful, and as I said earlier, I get an idea in my head and then can't not do it. So I have a plan for London Comic Con in October, where I want to get a hotel pretty close to the convention centre, and I want to start the day as Jean Grey, then want to switch it up to Phoenix, and then want to end the day as Dark Phoenix.
Nice. Yeah, I see where you're going.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's the dream. So I think characters like that you wouldn't see so much at these fetish events, you know, because, and certainly they wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't go to Darklands as Phoenix, for example. Or I might, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking there's some really great looks in the X-Men versus Avengers Phoenixes that you could really do in rubber really nicely. That would work really well for, like, going to MRM or Darklands or something like that.
Yeah, that is true.
Do you find most people would use Lycra? Is that the norm?
Yes, although, that said, nice plug here for my wonderful friend who I mentioned earlier, Liam, who was the first runner-up, him and his husband run Fetish Daddy Gear, and he entered as a wonderful... So he entered the competition as a wonderful rubber Wonder Boy, rather than Wonder Woman, which was just a beautiful, beautiful costume. Gave me some real competition, the bastard. but they do some, you know, they've got kind of, I think on their site, they've got a rubber Green Lantern as well. I've seen some excellent rubber suits for superheroes as well.
Fair enough. I think I've seen all of who you've just mentioned at MRM.
Fair enough, yeah. I think one of the tangents I was going off on before I went off on a different tangent was the line between kind of cosplay and kinky cosplay, because I see several people on Instagram who just enjoy dressing up as superheroes, and there's, like I was saying, there's times when I am just enjoying dressing up as a superhero, and yet there's a lot of cosplayers that get fetishized when they don't want to, and that's, you know, that's absolutely an unacceptable thing, because they get kind of all kinds of messages on Instagram, and I know because I've had some of them, and there's a bit in my mind that's like, well, okay, I'm out there as Mr. Superhero Europe, I'm kind of a fetish title holder, I've got to expect some of this. But then there's other people who absolutely aren't, and are just doing that for the love of dressing up as their favorite characters, who probably shouldn't be receiving some of those messages.
Yeah, but title holder or not, you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Expect it is a bad state of affairs that you expect it.
Yeah.
I guess you've kind of hit on something there that I guess I want to sort of expand out a little bit, which is sort of the misconception of sort of cosplay versus fetish play in this space. But looking more specifically towards the fetish play, basically because that's very much kind of our remit here, what's some of the misconceptions that you get sort of engaging in sort of the superhero fetish side of things?
Firstly, it's that... firstly, I think people, again, on Instagram just think I am constantly sat in a Spider-Man suit, which, you know, you two can now attest to I am not, because as much as I'm wearing the sash, this is... not a Spider-Man suit. So it's very much that, ooh, are you in costume? Are you in your costume now? No, hon, I'm sat in my pyjamas eating a pizza. There's nothing sexy about this going on right now.
I think a lot of Kingsters... I think a lot of Kingsters social media people have that. And like, are you always in rubber? Are you always in leather, etc., etc.? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the... No, I'm absolutely not.
It's just too warm most of the time at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even with this sash, I'm feeling quite warm, but I'm not going to take it off because it's the principle of the thing. But, you know, the sash is made of rubber, so that's the reason why. I think as well, also, and again, there's an element of here of I know I'm putting myself out there as both a kinky cosplayer and a regular cosplayer. And I know that it's even difficult for me to see the line between that. You know, where one starts and the other finishes. I think, so that's probably one of the misconceptions of, if I'm just cosplaying, I'm just cosplaying. I'm not, you know. Not there to be sexually harassed.
No, exactly. Yeah. And forgive me if I'm speaking out of term here, but like I think it comes down to the same as it does with any sort of gear. And sort of, I know I've had situations when I've been in my leathers, etc. It's just like, there are times I'm wearing that just because I want to wear it, because that's how I'm at the moment. If I want to be sexual with you, or like I'm open to it, it's going to be obvious. Like, there's going to be a conversation that develops naturally. Don't just, like, drop a dick pic in my DMs or whatever. I mean, that said, if anyone wants to send a dick pic in the end, I'm not going to mind. But, you know...
Oh, God. So, I just want to throw this out there because it's the message that sticks in my head. So bear with me here because this is a... somebody messaged me once, kind of completely out of the blue, telling me that they wanted to suck the creamy goodness from my meat straw.
Okay.
Yeah. If that is not the most unattractive description of a penis you've ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. However, I have to ask, were they cosplaying as Krieg from Borderlands? Because that's the only context I can see that working in.
No, they absolutely weren't. They were not a cosplayer.
It's like, you're either cosplaying as a Krieg or a Psycho if that's going to work, and you've got to do it very carefully, because otherwise it's just not going to work.
Yeah, there was no cosplay going on there.
So, I guess coming around towards sort of the final hurdle, as it were, not the final hurdle, I need a better segue than that. Coming into the final chapter. Into the final battle, as it were. In terms of your tenure as Superhero Europe, I'm guessing similar to Quincy, that I know they had a few aims. Other title holders that I know have had a few aims that they wanted to do during their time. Like, how are you with regards to that? And sort of, like, how would you say it's going so far? Because you've held your title now for, is it 4 months?
Yeah, I guess we're into the fourth month now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's... scary.
Sorry.
Because I've done like one event so far. And it wasn't very successful. Partly as well because another one got cancelled. I was going to go to a Leeds-based event and it got cancelled. And then there's a couple I'm trying to go to in Manchester, but I just can't quite get the timing right.
Yeah.
But I will be... It's Leeds Pride this Sunday and I will be wearing... the Rainbow Spider-Man costume at one point during the day, which now comes with rhinestones because my wonderful housemate Adam has meticulously glued a load of rhinestones on it, so it's nice and sparkly. And obviously this beautiful sash will be out as well.
Awesome.
Of course.
As far as aims go, I will answer that question. I probably didn't go into it with a concrete plan because, again, I didn't overly expect to win. I was very, very focused on the competition and on bringing to life this character that I had and then this performance. And back to what we were saying earlier as well, my performance was also centered around anxiety and defeating anxiety.
Yeah.
So that would have been a good segue. So I think I want to try to encourage other people to get involved, try to encourage other people to explore if superhero fetish is something that they enjoy. I mm-hmm. want to try to, what's the right word? It's not quite include, but kind of embed superhero fetish a little bit more within the wider yep. kink community. Because okay. Because I know that that's one of the goals that Antonio has as well, and that's one of the things that he's yeah. spoken to me about. And so I want to see if I can, you know, make steps in that as well, and support with making steps in that.
Yeah.
And wider than that as well, I would like to kind of use what little bit of a platform I have to talk about stuff like diversity and inclusion, and to talk about equality, and to talk about mental health, and just to, you know, I've kind of got almost, I suppose, the two roads down here of if I can empower people to try out their fetishes and to get a little bit more mm-hmm. comfortable with that, then that's wonderful, because that's an experience that I had, and that's an experience yep. that other people gave me. And likewise, if I can, you know, talk about mental health a bit and make one or two people think, oh, I, you know, help one or two people move forward in their mental health journey or in their mm-hmm. journey to being yep. part of the queer community, then that is wonderful. I think, you know, those are very, very vague goals, but I suppose it's just to help empower people to find that little bit more of themselves, whether that be through kink or through cosplay or through, you know, their mental health journey or whatever it is, because entering the competition did that for me. It helped me to move forward mm-hmm. and get that little bit more comfortable with myself. And then winning the competition certainly helped me move that forward a little bit and get a little bit more comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we've set up a little Instagram page, which is Queeros United, and I've set that up with Liam, who was second place.
I like that.
Yep, I like that too. Liam, again, full credit, Liam came up with that, and I had exactly the same reaction when he said it, of going, yes, that. And also Freddie, who was third place. Love Freddie. Freddie entered as, let me get this right, Pup Pool. So Freddie's the wonderful kind of little crossover of superhero play and pup play, and he's also very, very into Gunge. I think his Instagram handle is Napping Gunge. But either way, look at the Queeros page and you'll be able to find Freddie through that. And he's American and beautiful.
Fair enough. I have to ask, was the Empower a deliberate pun?
It was, absolutely.
I love it.
And yeah, we do see I wrote this down to make sure I said it and then maybe forgot to say it. So it's we right. have Club Shoot in London, which is normally kind of sportswear. I reached out to the organisers of that, and they are doing a sportswear and Lycra superhero crossover on the 20th of August. So
awesome. Okay.
I will be there. This sash will be there. So awesome. You know, if anybody is around, please come along to that, because that would be wonderful.
Oh, no, that's amazing. No, that's absolutely amazing. So that's like when this drops, that will be a week later. So, like, if you can get along to that, go along.
Yeah, yeah.
I will also be at Folsom this year and Grand Can Fetish Week. So, as much as, you know, I'm joking. Oh, I've only done one event so far, and it was a bit of a disaster. It's because I have many more in the calendar for the next couple of months. So, if you're going to any of those, then please say hello to Sparkly Spider-Man.
I trust you will be very busy. Yeah.
Indeed. So I guess quick fire questions for you. If you would say that you had a particular superpower, what would it be?
Sorry, I'm not good at quick fire. Is that if I had a superpower or if I wanted a superpower?
Let's start with what you've got now.
Okay. I do think that is this wonderful ability to challenge myself and to kind of challenge my insecurities. I think that is a little bit of a superpower.
Okie doke. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
It would be the like Piper Halliwell style freezing time, just with a sassy little flick of my hands.
Yeah, nice. Okay. And you've listened to the show before, so you're familiar with the list. So I'm going to throw a list question at you.
Okay.
So Which kink would you do with each one? You have got Robin. Mm-hmm. You have got Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And you can choose which versions of these they are. And you have got Nightwing.
Oh, okay.
And your options are Electro, mm-hmm. Spanking, uh-huh. and Bondage.
Oh. Definitely going to have to spank Nightwing because people have an obsession with drawing Nightwing with all that ass. Electro on Robin and 1960s Burt Ward. And then that leaves poor Tom Holland all tied up.
I can't say I'd complain.
Can't argue about it. Yeah.
I like this list.
So I think that would bring us to the end of this interview. Gareth, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I will do a little bit of shameless self-promotion in a second, but before I do, I just want to...
Of course.
I just want to thank you for having me, because this has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
Well, the pleasure was all mine. But that said, shameless self-promotion. I am at Cosplay With Me on Instagram. As I've said, there's a good kind of... that is more cosplay focused. That is very much my kind of creative baby. But please do come along and have a look at that. And that's kind of where you can... That's where it's best to connect with me. There is also at Queeros United on Instagram for the superhero social meetups that we're going to be organising over the next few months. Yep. And likewise, I have very recently started my own podcast with my friend, where we're discussing all kinds of kind of social issues, I suppose. We've done one on snowflakeism, and we've done a whole episode on anxiety, and that is called Snowflakes Are Ruining the World.
Oh, I love that.
Fair enough. You will find links for the above in the show notes.
Absolutely. I guess that just means to say thank you very much. Thank you for coming onto the show. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you very much. And very good luck for the travels and the representation.
Indeed. So, Chris, shall we head into the 5-minute Marvel?
Yes, let's do that.
Okie doke. So, we're in a weird situation where there's not been a new program on at time of recording.
I mean, that's the thing with recording, like, in quick succession, with not much of a gap in between.
However, I'm a little bit annoyed with Marvel at the moment. Or more specifically, I'm a little bit annoyed with Lego.
Oh, do tell.
Lego have given... And, like, if you're listening to this, be careful. Lego have spoilers in their sets and their promotional pictures for Black Panther 2.
Yeah, a lot of these toys, peripherals do that. Like, Lego are notoriously for doing... Funko Pops are pretty bad.
Lego has been particularly bad about it because there's something that gets set up in the trailers for Black Panther 2, which, by the way, looks fucking stunning. Mm-hmm. It's a Lego set. It could not be a spoiler. All indications are that it is, though.
Yeah.
So be careful if you're out there. Can we talk about, like, She-Hulk and Groot? Because they're coming up in very quick time.
Sure. I Am Groot.
I Am Groot, I'm fascinated by, because I didn't know this was coming.
I Am Groot.
I want to see what that becomes. I'm really hoping that that's... I'm really hoping two things. I hope we get cameos. And I'm really hoping that we get kind of like a bit of a glimpse of kind of the different adventures that they went on along the way. Like, I know it's just going to be short vignettes, but I don't know. Totally. I think there's something really cool about it.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Baymax series, which I don't know if you watched. I thought it was really cool.
I haven't yet, but I've seen a couple of clips and been really liking what I've seen. I've just not had time to sit down to it.
Yeah, fair enough.
She-Hulk?
Yep.
The more I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that looks a lot, like a ton better than their first trailer.
Right? It's so much better. Like, I understood what they were going with one of their first trailers because it was like that whole kind of 1970s legal drama thing.
Mm.
But the CG in it was so rough. it now looks so good. Like, they've clearly heard people going, like, this isn't working.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad they have, you know, responded to their audience.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I'm most interested to see, though. She-Hulk breaks the fourth wall.
Yes.
I'm really curious to see how they're going to do that, because they have only ever once broken the fourth wall in the MCU before.
Mm-hmm.
Was do you know
WandaVision?
Where?
WandaVision?
No. No, sorry, you are right. No, they did break it in WandaVision. I'm incorrect on that one. But do you know where they broke it first?
First? No.
We're on a time limit, so I'm going to jump in. It was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
Because Groot
yes, they
bumped
did.
Into the camera.
They did. They did.
I'm really curious to see, like, we've got a glimpse of it. I want to see how they handle that more often, because I think it might start to give us an idea of whether they're gonna do a similar thing to Deadpool, where it's like a very direct thing,
mm-hmm.
and like no one knows, or whether it's going to be a like it happens and people react.
I don't know.
Now, what they do for one doesn't necessarily follow for the other. I'm aware of that. But I think we might get a bit of an idea how Disney might want to handle that from it.
They did with Wanda quite a few times already. Mm-hmm. They did it in WandaVision and did it again in Doctor Strange and in the Multiverse Madness, sort of.
Did they do it in Doctor Strange?
Well, there was that shot where Wanda looks directly into the camera, which for some people is a fourth wall breaking, but you know, you can also interpret it as not.
Here's my argument with that. I never took the WandaVision stuff as a direct fourth wall.
That is
because
true.
The entire point of WandaVision was this was her replaying like TV shows in her head type of thing.
No, I don't disagree. No.
So that's how I never took it as an out of universe break.
Yeah.
So I don't really count the Wanda stuff, especially like the Multiverse of Madness one, because she was jumping back into that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, Multiverse of Madness is different because, you know, it is when
she's
was
still jumping back to the hex.
Sleepwalking.
She's still jumping back to the hex.
I'm not sure.
The kids don't exist outside the hex. She's still in the hex at that point. So, as far as I'm seeing it, it's still part of that same.
No, she is in the other universe, the other number universe, though.
Where the hex hasn't been interrupted. We'll fight about that off mic.
Interpretation.
Let us know which side you think is right. But before we get into that, because we will get into that after the show, what's on your joysticks, Chris?
Nothing that new, really. I have been revisiting RimWorld. This time without the rim effects mod.
Oh, okay, just more tongue action now.
Pardon? Just never more mind. Tongue action.
I'm sorry, I can't hear that game and not think of rimming.
Well,
I know. So, have you been playing it with any mods or just the pure game?
Oh, there's still plenty of mods I have loaded into the game. I don't think I can really go back to RimWorld Vanilla anymore. The mods really do add so much to the game.
It's kind of pretty
essential.
I know
Honor RimWorld has just released a console version, and I look at it like, well, what's the point? Almost like, yeah, why?
Fair enough. I can't say I knew that there was a console version, but it's one of those things. There are some games that you get that used to playing with mods. Yeah. Minecraft was one of them for me. Satisfactory has become that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've delved into the mod side of that game, like, definitely, like, I think some games it's just like, the base is fantastic.
Yeah.
The base plus community creativity, amazing.
Yeah. City Skylines is definitely one.
Yeah, that's another good one. Slightly different vein because I guess it's user-generated content, but Planet Coaster had some really awesome stuff that got made in it that you could sort of pull down into your game.
Yeah. But yeah, that's That's been my quick joystick. I've also been playing a bit more Stacklands. I still actually haven't finished the island, but there we go.
I still need to pick that up.
It's a quick game worth picking up. So, what's on your joystick?
My joystick this week, I ummed and ahed whether to talk about this one, because I don't know whether it actually counts as a game as such. So I've been playing this thing, I've been using this thing called Talespire, which is essentially a D&D map maker. It's actually the D&D map maker that, as I understand it, Dimension 20 use. And it's really, really versatile. You can build some really awesome like scenes and things in it. I'm in the middle of trying to plan a D&D campaign at the moment, and I was going to just do Theatre of the Mind, and then I got put onto this software because like I tried a load of other mapping software and it just didn't do what I needed. Okay. Someone put me onto this one, and it really works really quick.
Yeah.
My only complaint with it is because it's D&D focused, everything is very much your high fantasy castles, villages, etc.
Yeah.
The D&D campaign that I'm planning is set in the Fallout universe.
So, yeah, modern stuff.
Exactly. However, apparently there is an update, like literally it went in the patch notes last night. There's an update coming that's going to have more cyberpunk and sci-fi stuff in it.
Okay.
So I'm kind of crossing my fingers that comes in, but honestly, even just from the perspective of just like, even if you just look at it as like creating a 2D map, just like so you can have rooms and then add things to it afterwards on the screenshot or something.
Yeah.
The amount of iteration it allows you to make, and you can start kind of like going in your head of how you're going to do different scenarios because you can put player pieces down, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing. And it can actually be used as a full kind of client to be your game board. I'm not going to say too much what I've been building in it because I know that a couple of my players listen to the podcast. So, sorry guys, you're not getting any tips here.
No hints, no spoilers. But
for anyone who does D&D and has been looking for like a really good map maker that allows you to kind of do that whole kind of, I guess, 3D look at things if you're doing remote play or whatever, absolutely recommend it.
Sounds good.
It's still in beta. I will throw that caveat out there. It's technically an early access game on Steam. I think it was about £20. I have got more than my money's worth out of it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's
so I don't know if that's technically a game, but it's where my gaming time has been spent.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it's cheaper than, you know, a year of subscription on Inkscape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll look into that for definite.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, does that count? I hope that counts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gaming adjacent, so.
Yeah, a game is what you want it to be.
This is fair. This is very fair. But, yeah, that's, like, a pretty short one this week. There's not much to add on it, because if I start adding on to it, I'm going to be giving spoilers away for, like, my D&D campaign. I will say, like, it is one thing I will say. Unlike a lot of map makers that I've seen, where you have to do, like, level 1, level 2, level 3, etc. This actually is a full 3D environment. So you can actually build on top of each other and build up the buildings. And then there's just sliders that allow you to sort of drill down from, like, say you've got a 4-level building in a dungeon or whatever, then you can you can drill down as far as you need.
And how do you actually use the map?
In terms of, like, in the game?
What's the output? Like how do people play on it?
You can invite people to join your session if they own Talespire.
Okay.
The way that we're planning to do it is I'm essentially just using it as a think kind of akin to Critical Role, where they have the map in the middle, but it's always Matt Mercer that moves it. Okay. I'm going to be doing something similar for my group where it's just like I'm going to have my copy of the game streamed into a private lobby so that only my players can see, like, not doing this public, but like it'll be like a video call because three of us are in America, and it'll be a like video call, you can see my screen, and then I'll maneuver the pieces as needed. Okay. And I'll just blank the screen occasionally when I need to hide something in order to not give away a spoiler or something.
Fair enough. So yeah, it's not like a JPEG export or anything like that then?
No, but I mean, it's not something I've looked into, but I would imagine you can just pull screenshots out if you would rather do it that way as well.
No, fair.
One note I will say for anyone that uses it on a 4K resolution, if you go into the settings, for some reason the game's got a bug at the moment, it will reset your screen orientation. Just make sure that you just set it every time you go into the settings. It's going to make your life so much easier once you do that. But yeah, that's my joystick.
Awesome.
But I think that's it for the day. Like, I feel like we've been like quite quick on the front and the start of it.
That's okay. We've got plenty of meat in the middle.
Indeed. But that's it for the week. Thank you once again to Gareth, Mr. Yep. Superhero, not EU, I kept getting that wrong, Mr. Superhero Europe 2022.
That's it. Indeed. Thank you, Gareth.
And if people want to find us, Chris, where can they find us?
Yes, people can find us on social media as TBNJ Podcasts. You can also find all the links at lnk.at/TBNJ Podcast. And you can also please leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/TBNJ Podcast.
Indeed. And just to repeat, if you wish to find our guest Gareth, you can find him on Instagram at cosplaywithme. And these links will also be in the show notes.
Indeed.
Thank you very much once again to our wonderful guest. It has been an absolute pleasure. This has been Teabags and Joysticks. I have been Si.
I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
This episode of Teabags and Joysticks has been edited by TB and JSI. The music is Quarter Conundrum by DOAK, and the soundboard consists of royalty-free audio. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
You what?
I'm distracted.
Okay.
There's two foxes chasing each other through my garden.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, it's adorable. I'm sorry. Oh.
I feel like this is going to go into the outtake.
Oh, that's so cute. You know,
this is going to the post-credit.
Oh, no, but they're adorable. I've never seen them at this time of day before. Like, usually we only see them in the morning.
Mm.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Let's get back to where we were.
Yes.